Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Dublin and London are Neil Cullen. Neil is the Director of Client Learning at Interactive Services. And Johan Thorell. Johan is the Senior Director for Europe, Middle East, and Africa Compliance and Data Privacy at CWT. Johan, Neil, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Most welcome. Thanks so much, Adam.
So we're going to talk about a perennial issue, which is that of training. Now, Johan, let's start with you. CWT has an extensive compliance program with training for some time now. How do you avoid burnout with all the training?
Yeah, so I think the key here, and there's no silver bullet, because then we wouldn't have this conversation, but I think a couple of things. Relevance. You need to keep the training relevant for your audience, and it could be quite difficult if you have a large global organization with lots of diversity in terms of culture, perception about compliance, and also the type of tasks they perform for your business. You also need to make somewhat exciting for people to really want to take the training, for them to be able to absorb the content. And you also need to think about that being nimble. So how do you make sure it's accessible? And I'm not just talking about technology, but also in terms of content. How do you ensure that they do understand the content you provide?
Yeah, relevance is definitely key, because the one thing you don't want to do is take up a lot of people's time teaching them about a topic that really doesn't affect their day-to-day life. Now, Neil, what are you hearing from across industry in terms of what companies are doing to keep their training fresh?
Yes, so I suppose freshness can sort of focus on a couple of different areas. There's three areas really where we see clients trying to keep things fresh. The first would be content. So, I mean, for something like, let's take anti-bribery and corruption as an example, I mean, the content doesn't change a huge amount from year to year. So it's a matter of framing that content in a different way. So it could be if you have case studies or scenarios in your training, you know, just freshening them up and approaching them from a different perspective. So just taking a look at those scenarios and what happens in those scenarios, and whether they can evolve or change over time, even if the content itself isn't necessarily changing. The second piece would be technology. So, I mean, 10 years ago, all of our e-learning courses were probably built using Flash. Now we're almost all HTML-based. So that allows us to be able to take the training on mobile devices, so on phones, tablets, as well as laptop and desktop. So that will evolve over time as well. And it's a matter of staying on top of that technology and making sure we're using that technology to our advantage in e-learning. It could also be a case of adding certain tools on top of the training. So, for example, like a text editing tool that allows companies to customize the content, or screen reading capability for accessibility purposes. And then the third would be the area of design. So the look and feel of the training, making sure that, let's say, the imagery that we're using in the training is reflective of media that people are consuming, you know, in day-to-day lives, whether that be online websites or media, making sure the imagery is modern and up-to-date, and then using different varieties of media types within training as well. So that could be videos, it could be interactive scenarios, so staying fresh from a design point of view. So yeah, those three areas would be what we see mostly.
I think there's a really strong point there, in that even though what you say may not necessarily be evolving, how you say it to people, how you express this and give them an opportunity to learn, can have an enormous impact on your ability to really communicate in a way that will ring home for folks. What do you think, either both of you, is the right balance between long-form training and short-form reminders? There's been a lot of push lately and on some very good research that suggests short-form, more constant reminders may be advantageous because, well, frankly, people forget.
Yeah, it's also, you've seen the pendulum swing a bit between, you know, the perhaps big training event every year to shorter, very focused training. It is, I guess, yeah, I think it's a little bit more complex than that. Depending on your audience, depending on where the exposure is for the audience for various compliance risks, having as targeted training as possible would, I believe, be obviously the optimal solution. But we all struggle with, budgets. We struggle with, resources available to make the training or to edit the training, if you like, to suit that particular audience. So with any large organization, I think what you will find is you may have a annual, if you like, catch-up training on the core activities and followed with smaller, shorter training events throughout the year, focusing on particular areas of risk for a particular audience. But it can be a tall order for any compliance team in an organization where the resource is an issue to pull both off. What I found is that when we decided to use the training setup we currently have, is that we, as I think Neil mentioned earlier, it's the ability to make edits very quickly in the content and not rely on any code changes or sort of a high long cycle for those changes to take effect. And that allows us to be more specific, more focused on the audience, and be able to push it out relatively quickly. So I think that's for us has been key in trying to be a bit more efficient and try to provide the right balance between a longer form training and shorter forms.
Yep, and I would build on what Johan is saying there, just in terms of, I guess, even the term long form. I mean, it can be the core foundation of your annual training, but it doesn't necessarily have to be long. We have a client who always likes to cite the quote that if I had more time, I would have written you a shorter letter. So, the content, if we do spend a little bit more time creating and crafting that content, we can find ways to actually shorten the message. So even though we use the term long form, it doesn't necessarily have to be, an hour-long piece of training. It's a case of distilling that message down. And then also, as you said, having some shorter reminders or other training instances that might happen at other stages throughout the year.
Now, Neil, people talk a lot about keeping the training interactive to ensure engagement, but I imagine there's good interactive and bad interactive. I mean, what I mean by bad is it doesn't really help people learn, but just forces them to click on something. How do you ensure you're getting interactivity right in training?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I think Johan hit the nail on the head earlier when he used the word relevance. So, I mean, part of how we really engage people in training is making it relevant. So, when somebody begins a piece of training, does it have their company's look and feel? Does it have their logo and their branding? Does it have a key image that they can identify with? And if you have those things when somebody logs into a training, straight away they're thinking, well, this is relevant to me. The course knows who we are and what we do. And right from the beginning, you have their attention. Then you get into the content. So, does the content reference something that's specific to the industry that we work in or the business that we work in? Is the content applicable to my role? So, if I work in sales, is it related to sales? Or do I have the opportunity to maybe test down or test out of the training if I've already completed it in a previous year? So those are some things that we can do to heighten relevance and engagement. And then in terms of interactivity, I suppose that really can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So we've had some clients who look for long videos where they click play and it might play for 20 minutes. But in our sense, in our mind, that's not really that engaging because you could just hit play and then go off and have a coffee and come back at the end. So video is certainly good, but it's a matter of keeping it short. So maybe 60 to 90 second video clips that capture the attention of the learner, and then they can go into then maybe a scenario, and having a scenario that actually stops and makes you think about the content. So it presents you with a particular situation. Maybe you meet a colleague and you have to give your colleague some advice. So what advice would you give in this particular situation? Or if you were in this situation yourself, what would you do? So those kind of scenarios can be an opportunity to explore the learning in a bit more depth. Not letting people just click through, but having them stop and think about the topic and think about a situation. And if that situation is relevant to the audience, it's relevant to the industry, the work that the company does, then all the better.
What's the best way to get training off the screen and into people's lives? What I'm saying is that, or what I mean is that, by how do you ensure that is not done and quickly forgotten? I mean, all the interactivity in the world, all the scenarios and all of that is fine, but you don't want it so that people say, okay, I'm done with this now, and they can move on.
Right, so you don't want a box ticking exercise, right? So I think, again, we'll get back to that key point being relevant. It's like anything in life, if it's something that you interact with or do every day, you will not forget, right? You do it in a particular way. And so it's a sort of, it gets into behavioral science, and I'm not a behavioral scientist, but clearly it does matter how well the message resonate with a person from their own experience. So for us, it's important not to see the training as a separate activity that you kind of, whatever that is, if it's as we talked about, long form, whatever the definition of that is, versus short form, it's about communicating and having an awareness within the organization. So we build in the training piece in our overall communication plan. That means that we do a lot of other types of communication to our staff in whether or that's using sort of your intranet to provide articles of interest, something happens that we want to alert people about, but not this industry event, so someone else is being in trouble for a particular kind of non-compliant issue, and we want to alert our staff to that. And they also, as a global company, we know certain type of what we would not consider okay in practice within our company may be a very common practice in the day-to-day life outside work because of the country you live in or some other sort of cultural influences. And so we need to be conscious about that, but we need to build in that relevance within our communication plan, and that includes obviously training. So I never treat training as a separate silo. I always see that as another piece of important communication to our staff. And as we mentioned before, we make sure we tailor training, and this is getting the balance right? Building customized training from scratch is gonna be a very tall order for most organizations. If you can leverage a out of the box type training, but with the capability and ability to customize that where required in a very efficient way, then I think you're onto something. So that's what we try to do. We will not reinvent the wheel where we don't have to. We will leverage that knowledge from third-party vendors, like Interactive Services, and then we will build on that from, enrich, if you like, the content to make that relevant to our staff.
Well, thank you both for sharing these insights. I think people listening will find them relevant, and look forward to having you at the 2020 European Compliance and Ethics Institute, which, by the way, takes place 16th through 18th of March in Amsterdam. I want to thank all of you who took the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.